It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
You know, weekends are supposed to be a good thing. Supposed to enjoy your weekends. Sometimes, every now and then, unfortunately, well, you get a weekend like we just got in the world of football here locally. Thank goodness a couple of state teams decided to get us a couple of victories. We got plenty to get into this afternoon. The way to get involved in the show, you should know it by now. It's simple. 800-998-1003. At ESPN Radio NOLA is also the way to get involved in with the question of the day, which, you know, is Monday's question of the day. Saints fans, give us your game ball. Pat on the back, and who needs to have a seat next to coach? And the Giants' overtime win against the Saints 27-21. It's going to be a therapy Monday. I sort of feel like it's just one of them Mondays where I'm here. I'm listening. Like the show Frasier. I'm here for you. I can't really explain what I saw in a lot of the different things that we saw over the weekend. It just is. There's reasons, and of course we can get into it. I don't know if a lot of it is of the happy kind, but it is what it is. College football. If you're a Green Wave fan, I said going to ECU to me was a season-needing win. Yes, it's a must-win, but you want to have a bowl season, you want to have the kind of season that you're looking for, you could not lose that game. Well,
here comes the Lightning down the sideline. Mitchell headed to the house. Touchdown, ECU. 68-yard run to go with his 62-yard run, which wasn't a touchdown on the first possession, but he's got 120-plus rushing yards on just those two carries.
Simple run play.
Ehlers hands off, and, well, the Seahawks may have made the mistake in not giving it to Marshawn Lynch, but Mike Houston is not going to make that mistake. He gives it to Harris again, and he waltzes into the end zone for a touchdown. Fourth. Rolling out, Ehlers. First down and a lot more touchdown.
Never good when the color guy is just laughing. Kind of gives you an idea. Final score, 52-29. It was 31-7 at halftime. They're now 1-4 in the season and host 4-1 Houston at Yeomans. One of the reasons I say they had to win that game. Houston, SMU, UCF, it's not looking good in uptown New Orleans. Not to be outdone, however, up the road on the interstate, in Baton Rouge, Tiger Stadium.
Hand off Jarquez, head down, he's in! Touchdown, Auburn! Jarquez Hunter from 1 yard out, and the Tigers have the lead! Johnson steps to throw, now flushed out of the pocket, he throws it across the middle, it's intercepted! Back at the 33-yard line, intercepted! There's the turnover! There's the turnover by Darius Knighton! And the Auburn bench erupts on the sideline!
And they get this monkey off their back! Ooh. Since 1999, Auburn, they took the lead with 3 minutes to go. They're going to come in to Death Valley at night and win this game!
You know what? Hold my beer, said the New Orleans Saints. Up 11 thanks to this play.
Third down and one. Hill will keep it. Hill, first down, touchdown!
It looked good. It looked real. Right? About 12:09, 12-something to play, up 11. I mean, the Saints were winning that game, right? After all Friday, I guaranteed it. It was happening. Hey, well, the Giants came back, tied it, going to overtime, win the toss. How confident was Peppers? You heard what he said. If not, there's video out there. Bleep them. After he won the toss towards the Saints, he absolutely knew they were going to win.
First and goal from the New Orleans 6 as Barkley takes it to the goal line. He's in. Giants win in overtime.
So Auburn beats LSU 24-19. Tulane loses 52-29. And, of course, the Saints lose in overtime 27-21. Thank goodness for the Colonels. Nichols, head coach Tim Rebo, will speak to him tomorrow and give him a massive thank you as they wound up beating HBU 48-17, 2-2 in the season. Oh, this weekend should be fun. They host the Riverbell Classic against SLU 12 o'clock, John L. Guidry Stadium. Raging Cajuns escape. Jags of South Alabama set up for a 37-yard field goal to win it. They miss. 20-18, they win. The Raging Cajuns did not score in the second half. We'll hear from Tim Rebo tomorrow. So now is the weekend in the world of college football. You know what? There is one bit of hope, and then I'll get to Cajun Goat here in a quick second, and I see the other lines ringing. There is one bit of hope, I promise. Well, maybe. Pelicans. Yes, the NBA preseason is off and running. They start tonight, 7 o'clock in Minnesota. Voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini, saw the plane fly over the house yesterday in the afternoon, right before the Giants scored into overtime. But yes, it was right there. He'll preview. We're off and running. Look, what was the practices like this past week? All of that and more. 7 o'clock, right here in your home for Pelicans basketball, 6:30 pregame. We are off and running. So 800-998-1003. That is the way to get involved on the show. You can also tweet at us at ESPN Radio. NOLA, got a ton to get into with each of those games. My thoughts on each of those games. But Cajun Goat wants to get started now. So I'll step aside. Cajun Goat, what are your thoughts, sir? How are you today?
Gus, I'm not really totally upset about the game.
Okay.
I want everybody to understand that this team has been traveling and traveling, and when you get home, man, they look like a tired team to me. The defense looked like they were tired, and they still could have won that game. I thought if I'm going to blame anybody on this whole entire team to sit next to coach, I'm going to have the coach sitting next to coach, because I thought he coached himself out of this game. I thought Jameis Winston probably played the best game yet as a Saint. He was finding the targets. He was throwing the ball. I thought the offensive line looked a little bit better. But I just thought the coach coached himself clean out of that game. The defense just looked tired to me. That you couldn't get to the quarterback for the Giants with their poor offensive line tells me you didn't have the legs to get there. I know they're a better pass rushing team than what I saw, but the defensive line and the coach totally lost us that game. There's nobody else to blame, not the kicker, not this guy, not that guy. Right. Your coach coached you clean out of that game. And you stole my thunder a little bit. I said, at least I got to look forward to my Pelicans today.
By the way, they will be live streaming that game, so it won't be on Bally Sports or anything like that. It won't be on television, but it's real simple. Pelicans.com if you want to watch it, if you want to hear it.
I definitely got it set up, Gus. I'm ready to go with it for sure.
Sounds good, man.
But also, I wanted to mention the LSU game.
Yeah.
When that kid for Auburn made that touchdown, that first touchdown, the way he scrambled and made it, I kind of knew the game was over then, because Mr. Momentum left the room for LSU after that.
Man, it was sort of like there were some parallels, obviously different games, different, you know, types. I understand that. In terms of the Saints and LSU, what we saw, I'm sitting there texting Marlon, and we're going to talk at 2:15. Marlon's going to come on at 2:15. I was texting him at halftime, texting him throughout. It's the same thing that I thought that happened with the Saints here. I'm with you in terms of I would put Sean next to himself there. And I think when I start playing these sound bites, you'll hear him. He wasn't upset. We've heard Sean ticked off, short, next answer, dumb question. It wasn't. I took it as A, they got beat. They got out coached. He made some decisions he regrets, including the 58-yard field goal. That should have been a punt. And he says it, now play it. But I think also, Cajun Goat, I just think he sees what this team is right now. It's why I got criticized when I said it's an 8-win team. It's just there's potential. There's potential. But this is a game you're going to kick your tail later on in the season. This has a feeling of that Falcon game 2 years ago. This has a feeling of you're going to be a game short of a wild card spot and you're going to kick your tail on this because they should have never lost the game. Because there's one thing that stands out to me, Cajun Goat. And yes, the tiredness, Yes, you can look at all those different things. This game was lost in the first quarter, first half. The first three possessions of the New Orleans Saints crossed the 50-yard line three times. They got no points. They had no points. That is so hard to do when you think about it. To cross the 50-yard line, you're basically 10 to 15 yards away from a field goal, or should be. And you come away with no points. That's hard. That is so hard to do, a turnover on downs, a punt, and a missed field goal. That you should have put the Giants away long ago. You were up 11 in the fourth. You got to get first downs. But like I watched when I watched LSU, Cajun Goat, what is this team's identity on the offensive end? Jameis Winston spoke about it last week. I agree with you. This is one of the better games he played. But at the same time, Ross Jackson posted a tweet yesterday. And it can't be ignored. Cajun Goat, Taysom Hill's interception that he threw in the third quarter, 6:17 left. Listen to this. After that, Jameis Winston only threw one pass. One pass. Until three possessions later with 6:11 left in the fourth. So, is there a trust issue? Is Sean just saying, look, let's just get out of here and try to... I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is this. I'm watching that game last night, New England and Tampa. Your quarterback's got to make plays, man. I'm watching that game in Baton Rouge. And Bo Nix said, bleep this. I need to make plays. Your quarterback has got to make plays. Taysom Hill's my game. If Taysom Hill doesn't play yesterday, the Saints may not score.
Yeah, but Josh, that's all in the play calling, Gus.
He just threw
a touchdown before Taysom threw the interception. He threw a touchdown, got called back because of Troutman. Is that his fault?
No.
Is that James' fault?
I'm not blaming James.
I mean, in the play calling as far as run. Yeah. Is that James' fault? Is he not? Does he get an option to audibleize? I think it's the coach's fault.
Well, like I said, there's definitely a. I don't know how else you look at it. Does he trust him to throw the football?
And then let's not even you waste the time out, Gus. Call him a challenge on a play that you don't even need a challenge, and you wasted a time out.
Sean Payton was horrible.
He was horrible.
That was baffling because
just everything
worst,
about what he did in that game. Yeah. I would almost put him under the Pete Rose rule that he might have had money on it on the game the way he called that game. That's how bad he called that game.
That was just horrible. The challenge made no sense because at best you're going to get was third and short, like third and inches.
Right, and you lost a timeout and a challenge.
Yeah. In the second half, I'm Cajun Goat. It's inarguable. He has to sit himself next to it. It's inarguable. He did not have his best game.
Yeah, he was horrible. For anybody to think that Jameis was the reason we lost that game, you got to be crazy. You got to see the play calling was crazy. He was burning them cornerbacks. He got into a rhythm. When you're talking about when Taysom came in and threw the ball, Jameis was in a rhythm. He had a good flow going to the game. And Sean Payton took him out of his flow. Why did you do that? Would you take your quarterback out of the flow of the game? He actually started having the Giants on their heels, not knowing what was coming.
He was throwing the ball beautifully.
If
you remember at the beginning of the season, I said it was going to be one of the things that we would have to keep an eye on. And I thought with Breeze, it took him, a Hall of Fame quarterback, to adjust and accept and find a way to stay in that rhythm. And I said that. I said, look, what is Taysom's role? Taysom helped yesterday. But to your point, can doing that going back and forth also have an adverse effect? You know? That's a game you can't lose. That is a game you cannot lose. Period. So
I agree with you, Gus. And I just don't see. I did not see from the start of the game. I did not see urgency in this team. I did not see a fired up team that was happy to be home. I seen a tired team that looked like, man, we need to get to the bye week.
We're just trying to get to the bye week. I don't know if that's the case, but I will say this. The Giants absolutely look like the more team that wanted it more last night. I mean, there's no way to look at it like that. They ran harder. They were just playing quicker. There's no way to say they weren't. I got to hit the break, man. Thank you for the phone call, though.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it. Randy, I'm going to come to you right out of the break. It is the Sports Hangover. Don't forget where you're home for Pelicans basketball. That is tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame. So super excited and pumped about that. So don't go anywhere because over the next 3 hours, I got you. Then Matt Muscoden after further review, he's going to go off on Auburn's win at LSU. Or is he? I don't know. I kind of look at it like, well, if you're a real LSU fan, maybe that was a good thing for you. Only way change is going to happen, right? If you get my drift. Got plenty to get into. Randy, you're up next. Phones are ringing. I'll keep coming along. I want to hear from all y'all. Wave fans, Tiger fans, Cajun fans, Colonel fans, Pelicans fans. Fan here, fan there, fan everywhere. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start, and we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
This is the NFL. If you let any team hang around for too long, give them hope, they make a play here or there like, you know, they get paid to do, and then next thing you know, it's a game.
That is safety Malcolm Jenkins. Randy, thank you for holding on through the break, sir. How are you?
What's going on, Gus? How you doing?
Doing well, man. What you got?
I just want to make a couple points real quick. So, Cajun Ghost said that they was tired. Man, they wasn't tired. They knew they was playing the 0-3 Giants and didn't show up. You know, they just figured they'd show up, dome coming, 0-3 Giants, we're going to steamroll them. That's all they heard all week. Mm-hmm. And they didn't show up, and they got punched in the mouth, straight up. And, yeah, Sean Payton, he didn't call the game as aggressive as I would like him to, but I would say this. If you didn't watch the game and you looked at Jameis Winston's line in the box, you would say, oh, Jameis Winston had a great game. He was efficient. No turnovers. And I don't think Jameis Winston was the reason they lost the game, but he wouldn't have been the reason they won the game either. Sean Payton, you could just tell he's scared to throw the football down the field because he's scared Jameis is going to turn it over. I mean, it's evident. He doesn't throw the ball down the field. And we have a quarterback that could throw down the field, and we don't do it. But also, you know, penalties. Penalties killed the Saints yesterday. I mean, it was sloppy. I put that on coaching for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to talk about the defense. Yeah, the defense gave it up. But how about scoring some damn points?
Yeah,
I mean, you kicked 58-yard field goals.
Randy.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
Randy, the first three possessions of the ball game, you could have put that game away. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. The first three possessions of the game, you had a chance to do some good work, and you didn't. You had a punt, but even after that, when you say, okay, fine. They punted, you punted, you got them to punt again. Then you turn it over on downs, though. 10 plays, 44 yards, 5 minutes, 40 seconds. They miss a field goal. Then you do eight plays, 35 yards, again on your side of the on their side of the 50, miss a field goal, the 58-yarder. Those are points, those are moments that you can go get. You need to get, you know?
I mean, for sure. And look, I want to make two more quick points. First point is, Alvin Kamara is never going to play a 17-game season if you keep giving him the ball the way you're giving it to him. I mean, it's just the Alvin Kamara show on offense. And run him on first down, run him on second down, if it's third and short, run him on third down. There's no way that kid is going to hold up through 17 games giving him the ball. What, 26 times I think they gave it to him yesterday?
Alvin Kamara, yep, 26 carries, 120.
No way he holds up for 17 games giving him the ball almost 30 times. And a lot of those were runs right up the middle, like, you know, right into the line. Mm-hmm. And second of all, Gus, you know this game is going to come back to haunt the Saints. Look at the game against the Falcons a couple years ago in the dome coming off the bye. That game cost us. I mean, you know these games will always come back. In the end of the season, we will look back on this Giants game. In some type of way, this game is going to cost the Saints down the line, point blank.
There's no doubt. There is no doubt. I mean, as that thing hit, and look, and I'll play the bite here after I hang up with you. Sean knows it. He used the word frustrated several times. You can't lose that game. You can't lose that game, especially when you should have absolutely won that game. Statistically, everything. I mean, you had that game, but you got to finish. You got to take advantage of those opportunities. And look, I get it. It's a 58-yarder, but just kind of at some point you got to be able to trust that kicker. I think they go for it a lot of times. I think they don't trust that, and I think there's that sort of trust issue to it. But again, it's frustrating because when you can get a win in the NFL, you have to go get it. And man, that's one you're gonna really wish you had back, Randy. Thank you for the phone call. I want to play the soundbite real quick so I can get to Uncle Earl. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Hold on, here we go. Uncle
frustrated.
Earl.
There's no even more though. I say that with all due respect. This game can be frustrating and challenging and all of those emotions, and that's why it feels so good to win. That's why it feels this way when you lose. But it's frustrating. You know, there's a ton of different things. When one of the things I said to these guys in the locker room, I said, look, we can't get that game back. We're 2-2. It is what it is. But let's make sure we get something from that game. You know, in this league, I don't care who you're playing. And I mean that. Doesn't matter. If anyone hangs around, they're good enough to make plays. And you look, 11 points, you know, that went away quickly, didn't it? I mean, so, yeah, it's frustrating. It's disappointing. All those emotions.
I think the thing that really ticks me off, Uncle Earl, as we bring into the conversation, is you win that game. And you know what? That field goal doesn't doink off the left upright last night. New England upsets Tampa. You're in first place, man. I mean, you know, it's like that's the thing that just – it's frustrating. I know it's a difference of a game, but it's a difference of a game. The Falcons blew it. The Panthers lost to Dallas. And Tampa, even with the win, would have had the same record as you at 3-1. What's up, Uncle Earl?
Hey, Goose, I'm livid, man. Look, we talked about it before on the schedule and leading up to this and Washington before we get to bye and go to Seattle. This is a game we needed to have.
Yep. Yep.
And I tell you what, Goose, in the first quarter when they were on the other side of the 50 and didn't get a damn thing, I knew we were in trouble.
It just had that feel, right, Uncle Earl? Just had that feel of, oh man,
it really
you know, just everything. And you know, the first caller brought up a very interesting point. Did you get the sense and feel that it was electric and amped and ready to go? The defense sure played like that in the first half, but I didn't get that sense or feel either. I don't know. That's just me. And look, they had plenty of seats
Goose,
in that place too.
Sense of urgency. Man, Daniel Jones could have played eight quarters. and threw for 800 yards. I mean,
dude, he had a career day. He had a career day. Had a career day. This guy, who literally they want to run out of New York. And look, give him credit. Just like Saturday night, I mean, Bo Pix is going to go down as one of the worst Auburn QBs with all the hype. Like they literally put in Finley in the first quarter because his first drive was so poor, and he responded though. You got to give that guy credit. He himself made sure it didn't happen. And then Daniel Jones goes 28-40, 402, two TDs.
Dude, and they played without their top two wide receivers.
Yeah. No, it's like, look, again, it is an absolute, it should upset you. Like, it should absolutely 100%. Bother you if you're the Saints that you lost that game.
Hey, Goose, you got to give them credit. I was watching on a bump and run. They were just beating the Saints off the ball on that slant. No, we just couldn't stop.
I'm telling you, they played harder.
We got to get
they
that rookie
harder.
Some help. He's going to be a hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
I think once we get healthy and man, but I tell you what, Goose, and Pate put all the yo-yos in a lock. That's what that team is right now. You don't know what Saints team you're going to get each week. And you're looking at a 500 club, Goose. It is what it is. Have a good week, buddy. I'm pissed off, Goose.
I appreciate it, man. Take care. And there he goes, Uncle Earl. Not happy. Upset. Malcolm Jenkins after the game had this to say.
I mean, it's a pretty easy game. It's just a very simple game. Don't let them score, especially not fast on defense. And I think, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do for his team. So I think this one's on the defense. I know this one's on the defense. We got to play better in order for our team to have success. And that starts with those big plays and then tackling to the standard in which, you know, we set for ourselves.
I know the Barkley run was solid and all this other stuff in overtime. When they converted, what was it, 3rd and 16 or 26 or something like that on a wide receiver screen, and literally the guy just was making everybody miss. Saints players couldn't bring him down. You're just sitting there going, and that's that feeling, that queasiness in that stomach of your, the old, it sure doesn't feel like you're supposed to win kind of thing. Jameis Winston.
Oh, it was exciting. You know, that was the best part about today. Like I said, I wish we could have brought them a win, man. Like, you don't like to lose those type of games, man. Like, that's what we do. We finish. And, like, that's in our DNA. Like, that one just feels like a blur, man. Like, so that's why I apologize to him, man. I was so happy to be here. I was so blessed to have this opportunity to play in front of our fans, man. It didn't work out. And, like, and we're going to get it fixed. I'm going to get it fixed. And that's it, man.
Winston shouldering some of the blame.
Like I said, we're going to have to take a look at the film. I know I have to take, you know, full responsibility of that, man. I just got to do a better job. Like, we can't be off when the time is when they need us the most. You know, we have to be on top of every element. And I take full responsibility of that. And we're going to continue to get better as a team, as a squad. And we'll put our defense in better situations.
How did you think he played? I'm asking Saints fans here. How did you think he played? 17 of 23, 226, average pass 9.8, got a TD, was not sacked once, was not picked off once. Got a rating of 119. Taysom Hill came in and absolutely made an impact. 2 touchdowns. How did the Saints lose that game? Like, I'm just sitting here wondering, you didn't have turnovers. Your defense absolutely kept them in check for an overwhelming majority, 3/4 of the game. Lee, how you doing today, bud?
I'm not. I told you I will call. Told you I will call back, and I will admit my wrong. I will admit my failure. If the Saints lost this game, I will call back and eat humble pie, crow, everything. And I've been eating humble pie all morning. I guess I'll be eating crow for them. Because this is, man, Gus, let me tell you. I was sure that Texan said the Saints was going to win this game. I was wrong. Everybody on that team should be embarrassed and should be ashamed of themselves for the type of effort they put together. To say they didn't have a home game in over 2 years with a crowd, they ought to be disgusted with themselves with the type of performance they put up. And they know two ways about it. This game's gonna cost you. Because right now, I don't see a lot of people in the NFC West losing anything. And the only team in this year that's fighting for the playoff spot, there's only one team that's going to buy, and it's the number one team. So even if you finish second, you're still going to be playing wild card week. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it from that aspect. But right now, I'm more along with you thinking. You saying it from the beginning. This is a 500 football club. And it's a shame that it's a 500 football club, because that's telling me that they're not giving their best effort. Where was the pass rush? All I heard about all offseason is that this defense is going to be nasty, going to be mean. Cam Jordan, still looking for Cam Jordan on the milk cart. I don't know what's going on. Do we even have a sack this year? I'm just wondering. I mean, this is maybe some Jordan, if Jordan come on or whatever, can find out for us if Cam Jordan has a sack registered this entire year. Because I know he's got pressures, but, I mean, come on. We need sacks. Like, one time we need a quarterback on the ground, the defense wasn't getting any pass rush.
Man, let me interrupt you real quick. This is a 30-second bite, and I need to go here soon so I can get the graph on. But this is Malcolm Jenkins on why they couldn't get to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, well, I think they did a good job also of max protect, you know, pretty much the entire game. It wasn't much, you know, many times where they didn't have two tight ends in the game, you know, staying in the block when they wanted to throw it down the field. And then when they wanted to throw it quick, they spread it out, and ball got out of his hands before we can get to him. So I thought he played a great game, executed the plan, obviously, that they came in. They stayed patient even when they got down, didn't force any throws. You know, so hats off to them.
By the way, Cam Jordan has no sacks this season, but I did see a lot of double teams on him. But at the same time, again, Chase Young going to get double teamed. So, look, it is just, this is what it is. I was with you. They didn't, but I just wanted to play that because Jenkins said that they did a lot of those things to help him out. But again, I hear you, but you got to get there, you know? Give me your final 30 seconds here, man.
At some point, coach is going to have to realize he made a bad pick when he picked out a problem. You can't have him in blocking. You're going to do a shot play, you bring your blocking tight end in the game. If you're going to do a shot play down the field like they did with James Winston when he hit still, why is Troutman in that block?
Right.
You got to have your best tight end on that blocking tight end on that play so you can have max protect. Like they max protect, we should have max protect. I didn't understand that. I hear what Malcolm was saying, but Sean Payne could have easily had max protect when you know you're going to take a shot play down the field.
Right.
Get James time to throw the ball. You have your best blockers out there. And he already proved he can't block. How many times are you going to throw him out there until you realize he cannot block?
I'll say this, man. I got to hit this break. I'll say this, Lee. More and more I'm finding that they're more on the negative side of the column than positive for Adam Trautman right now. I don't think I'm inaccurate on that, you know? So.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Thank you, Lee. We'll talk later this week, bud.
All right,
sir. Appreciate it. Steve, hold on. I'm going to come to you right out of the break. We'll have the graphs on hold as well. So we'll go to Steve and end the graph. Ty Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. They got a game tonight, 7 o'clock at Minnesota. He'll help us preview when we come back to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I can't hear you. Here on this mountaintop.
Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
If I learned one thing from this great game of baseball, it's that she'll humble you.
You think you've got it figured out, you check the standings, and you're in last place again. I'm Eric Rubino, Fantasy Baseball GM, and I can put my team in position to win every single time, but I can't play the games, people. At least Progressive's Name Your Price tool has options based on my budget. It never lets me down, unlike my pitching staff. Amateurs!
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
So as you guys know, Mark's gone.
The float artist at Fred's Floral just took off, days before the parade. They need a replacement before business passes them by.
And who am I going to get to finish the float?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Steve, give me your best 2 minutes, sir, so I can get to the graph. He's on hold. What you got for me?
You got it. Actually, I'm just sitting here while you're in the break shredding some paper. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was from, you know, some documents from 1986. I thought I had the last copy of Carl Smith's playbook, but Sean must have one. So I'm hoping somebody can sneak into the facility and get Carl Smith's final remaining playbook and get it over to the house so I can shred it. I'm dying over here, man. I'm dying. I mean, we have a quarterback who's thrown for 5,000 yards, but, you know, Sean is the smartest person in the room, right? So smartest person in the dome for sure, because you pull him to put in your backup tight end to throw a deep pass and get it intercepted. Help me. Help me with that.
I'd like to, and I will. I promise. Look.
I mean, I
thought this was always going to be the issue, and even Graf and I talked about it too. You know, if Taysom Hill lost the battle, what is his role? How is his role? Look, I mean, he's a weapon on the offensive end in that, look, you saw he gave you two touchdowns yesterday. At the same time.
Let me tell you about the two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Hurry up. Wait, let me tell you about the two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in section 315. And if I know when he's at quarterback and Alvin Kamara's next to him, he's going to fake to Alvin Kamara and keep the ball. Guess who else knows? I know it succeeded because of his physical prowess and his ability mm-hmm. to run through people. But that's not a winning formula, man. At some point, you have to say, okay, guy, you're a gadget guy. And there's a time and place for gadgets. But when you're in a close game and you're trying to put a team away, come on, it's not gadget time. You're the better team. You don't need gadgets. Just be the better team.
I hear you, Steve. Thank you for the phone call, man.
Hey, oh, and last thing. Graf, who's starting tonight? Is it Najee, Mikal Alexander-Walker? Who's going to be that fifth guy that we've been trying to figure out who's the fifth starter? I can't wait for the Pels tonight.
Sound good.
I got me excited. The same kind of got me down, but I'm excited about my Pels. Let's go, Pels.
Yeah, listen to it here on the station. You can watch the stream on Pelicans.com.
Pretty great. A lot of energy. Guys, happy to be back. And, you know, we bonded as a team. So just being back and being able to play again is pretty good.
That's Najee Marshall answering the question, what was the first week of camp like? Let's bring in the voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini at NT Grastaway to follow on Twitter, up in Minneapolis, where today in Minnesota the Pels will take on the T-Wolves. Sir, how are you?
I am good, Gus. Gorgeous day up here, and looking out my hotel window at the Target Center right now. So really anxious to get it going here tonight. Really anxious.
Well, no pressure on you, sir, because you only pretty much have to pick up most of the state of Louisiana over this past weekend. So,
in the technical sense, it would be salvaging.
Salvaging, yes, salvaging. Although, if we would have just listened to you, I would have been prepared. You indeed, sir, said not to make it as confident as I was. I guarantee to win, and there's your guarantee for what it was worth.
Gus, you know, the word guarantee. I've watched the Saints my entire life, and I just they don't mix. Look, would you classify me as a glass half empty or glass half full guy?
I would say empty. I would say drops left.
No, and I would agree 100% with that. The last time I guaranteed a Saints win, okay, and this is why I've got PTSD when I hear the Saints are definitely going to win, when people call in and say, I guarantee a victory, or if you guarantee victory. In 2011, which at that time was the greatest offense in the history of the NFL, the Saints went to St. Louis to play the 0-6
Yes.
St. Louis Rams.
Yes.
Saints were 5-2. The mm-hmm. Sunday before, Gus, the Saints put 62 on the board against the Indianapolis Colts. 62 points. I'm watching the game with a buddy of mine, Brock, who might be listening right now. And before the game, he comes up to me and he goes, Graf, I'm feeling kind of nervous about this game. And I went, Brock, no problem, man.
Oh, no.
No problem. There is no way we are going to lose this game. Mm-hmm. There is no way.
Mm.
The Saints were getting beat so bad by halftime, I walked out.
Yep.
It was 17-0 Rams, lost the game 31-21, breezed through two picks, got out-dueled by one A.J. Feely, and Steven Jackson looked like Marshall Faulk that day. And so, again, when I hear guarantee, I go back to that day in 2011, and I get the shakes, Gus. I get the shakes.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I will try to put you in a much better place, because we actually have some storylines. You had storylines going into Saints training camp when you covered them for NewOrleansSaints.com with JD. But now you and JD are going to be looking at a bunch of different other storylines here. Who are going to be the starting five? We expect Zion at some point to come back and be a part of that. But you and I have been kind of going back and forth off the air. Willie Green and his team that he's kind of building here, what are some of your impressions that have stood out to you? And then we'll get into who's going to be battling for that starting backcourt role.
Well, you've heard this word a lot in the last week. You know, it's been seven practices since training camp started back last Tuesday. And I think I know the word is energy. That's really been the buzzword going around. And the other word is competition and compete, because for seven practices, we've seen both. And I tell you, having been at six of the seven, there has not been one drop off of energy at all, which has been pretty impressive considering, look, I mean, they've been going at it pretty hard as well. Seen a few scrimmages. One of those practices, they went about 2 hours and 45 minutes. So they've been going at it pretty good, and the competition level and the energy level has been very, very high the entire time. I've also been impressed to see kind of Willie Green get through his paces, because, Gus, I don't think he's been very overbearing at all. I think he's let his assistants do a lot of the work, and Fred Vinson and Casey Hall and Jaren Collins. Those guys have done a really good job, and you know, when Willie Green has to say something, he will. But for the most part, he's kind of stood in the background. It's been a lot of fun to watch, Gus. And I tell you, Willie Green's biggest problem this year, at least early on in the season, is going to be how are you going to get a 10-11-man rotation? Because this is a pretty deep team, Gus. And, you know, you're not going to go 12-13 deep when the season rolls. And you're going to probably stick to 10 or 11. And with what we've seen in camp, that top 10-11 is going to be very, very difficult to break in. I mean, there are going to be guys that are going to be sitting on the bench, Gus, that could absolutely play. Absolutely play. So this is going to be a very intriguing preseason, Gus, just to see how those rotations are going to be set. You know, you got four preseason games, and you're going to need all of them. And just listening to Coach after practice yesterday before we got on the charter to come up here,
right,
we're going to see probably 10 or 11 here tonight, and they're going to give it a pretty good run. So it's going to be almost regular season-esque when you're talking about minutes played and who plays. Now, we do know Zion's not here, obviously, on the trip. Jonas Valanciunas sprained his thumb, so he is doubtful for tonight, even though you know, just watching him shoot yesterday, it doesn't appear it's going to be a very serious thing at all. And so I think you're going to see his minutes go to Billy Hernan Gomez and probably Jackson Hayes. So, you know, again, you've got bigs on your roster, even though Valanciunas probably won't play tonight. You've got a little depth right there. So if I was a Pelicans fan, I'd just be very curious to see who plays with whom and how amount and how many minutes they're going to play, because that's really going to be the intriguing thing, because camp has just been awesome to watch. It really has been.
You got a few minutes to come back with you, because we had a caller start the segment. Okay, cool. But because I want to do something for some listeners, because you and I have been texting on it. But I will throw out some names on some players and just give me the first thing that pops in your head from the six practices you've seen. Sound good?
Okay.
All right, quick break. We come back. We'll have more with the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans. They play tonight, 7 o'clock. You can hear it, of course, with the tip-off show coming up at 6:30. Don't go anywhere. Well, you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. That's another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision ever. Even easier than deciding to open the biggest birthday gift first.
Happy birthday to you.
Which one are you going to open first?
The pony!
Yep, even easier than that. Plus, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is banking with Capital One even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. No fees or minimums on new consumer accounts. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to make the playoffs and make a run. You can feel it. There's a different focus, sharper attention to detail, and all of us are just kind of coming together.
That is Nikhil Alexander Walker, Nah for short. So we're speaking with the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, Ty Graffanini at NC Graffs, the way to follow on Twitter. I came back with that, Todd, because he is one of the names that seems to be almost first, but definitely all the time when I'm speaking to everyone that's been able to be at practice, including yourself. Tell Pelicans fans, why is Nikhil Alexander Walker on the top of everyone's thoughts?
Nikhil has always been a confident player, Gus. And now you can tell that his confidence is going to match his experience in the league. Even when Nikhil was struggling with a shot, he was not afraid to put it up. I mean, if he had an open look, he was going to put it up, even if he was struggling or not. At least during camp, Gus, he has been fantastic shooting the basketball, so much so that I really believe that he could be a 39-40% three-point shooter this year. That's how well he has performed in camp. And, you know, you throw on top of that, I think he's gotten a little stronger, as has Jackson Hayes, as has Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been pretty evident that those guys have put in the time. in the weight room in the off season, and just to watch him shoot the ball and see what he's been doing defensively, that's something I have not talked about either. Defensively, just to see guys get after it, get on the floor, deflecting passes, steals. We're seeing a whole lot of that during camp as well. But if you would tell me who I think has been the best performer in practice thus far, it has been Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Wow. How about this guy?
It definitely helps when the coaches are letting you shoot the open shots. You're not like sitting there, should I shoot it, or am I going to get taken out if I shoot it? So it definitely helps a lot just having that confidence with the coaches.
That is Jackson Hayes. Antonio Daniels tweeted a couple days ago, Graf, the guy that's knocking down threes everywhere was him. He told us on Monday at Media Day when he was on the show that last year wasn't an aberration. That's what he wants to do. The last part of that bite was interesting. And him referring to worried about if he misses a shot, he's going to get taken out the game. Todd, you and I have talked about this before. We've covered in Watch Sports. If you can't go out there and play freely, which is something else you've heard from this team this week, or just go out there. Look, mistakes are going to happen, but you can't make plays if you're consistently looking to the bench or the sideline in football, the dugout in baseball, huh, Todd?
Yeah, no question about it. Confidence is key. And you can tell, just like with Nikhil, Jackson Hayes, remember, these guys are starting their third year now. Even though they're still very young, they are experienced. These guys have played a lot of minutes. And to me, Jackson Hayes is the X factor on this team. Because not only what he's doing, getting up and down the floor, and to watch him run the floor at 6'10", 6'11", is pretty impressive. We all know his athletic ability. But you add on top of that the fact that he's been shooting threes regularly, for the most part, making them, is going to make him a very, very dangerous offensive player. And by the way, he's also been working on mid-range shots as well. I've seen a number of baseline, 8-9 foot floaters go in. So it's been pretty evident that he has worked on his game in the offseason, specifically the mid-range and specifically the 3 points. The first practice, me, Antonio Daniels, Joel Myers, Daniel Salison, we're all looking at each other going, man, this guy's making everything. He was, at 3 for 4 at one point very early on. And, he actually has a pretty decent stroke. He was 6 of 14 last year, which is not too shabby at all, at 43%. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to shoot over 40% this year, but the fact that there is the opportunity for him to be out there and to make those shots makes him a very dangerous player to the opposition.
All right, let's go rapid fire here. Devontae Graham.
Unlimited range, Gus. there's a four point line on the practice court.
Yeah.
And he can make them from anywhere. So, and he's going to play a lot. He is going to play a lot.
I'm so used to the Pels playing players like that. And so far right now, I do like that at least it sounds like there's more shooting.
On paper, I know. Should be a much better three-point shooting team. And by the way, that we've been running this offense, they're going to be wide, wide open looks for a number of players, both on the wing and in the corner. And it's just, are we going to knock them down or not? Because our drive and kick game has been pretty solid.
Okay, well, that's awesome to hear, because I do think one of those players is going to be grabbing and kicking it or catching and shooting. I like him. Trey Murphy. Do I get TM3 on the back of my jersey, or do I get Trey Murphy the third? I mean, what kind of jersey am I getting here?
I think Murphy the third. You got to go basic here, but silky smooth stroke, Gus. Silky smooth stroke. One of those scrimmages, he started off 4 for 4 from distance. And look, and this is what people got to understand. He is very long, Gus. He is 6'8", and he is every bit of 6'8". So not only can he shoot it from anywhere, and here's another guy that that kind of shadows that four-point line, is Murphy. He's got unlimited range. But, Gus, those with that long wingspan, the guy can be up. And he is, look, you want a 3-and-D guy on the wing, there's your guy. And we'll be interested to see how many minutes he plays tonight and throughout the preseason, but he is absolutely going to be a major factor on this team this year. No question.
All right, so, Todd, we got about 2 minutes left here. What do we want to see? If I'm a Pels fan, what do I want to see over the next couple of games? You got Minnesota, then Wednesday, right here at the Smoothie King Center, your host Orlando, at Chicago on Friday, next Monday, Utah. What do I want to see, and what does Willie Green want in these four preseason games?
He wants to see the guys play hard. He wants to see them play with pace. He wants to see guys do the fundamental things. And, again, so far in camp, we have seen these things. There hasn't been a moment where you're looking around going, what in the world's going on out there? That has not been the case at all. The practices have been very, very efficient. And I think Willie Green, and he talked about it in summer league, Gus, he doesn't care if it's summer league, a practice, a scrimmage, or what we're going to see tonight in the first preseason game. He wants to go out there and win the ball game. And, because it just breeds winning. Winning breeds winning. And the one thing, though, that Pelicans fans need to be watching is how hard these guys are going to play. And I don't think they're going to be disappointed one bit because, again, from what I've seen in the last week, these guys have totally bought in. So we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously it doesn't count tonight, but in Willie Green's eyes, it does count.
Mm-hmm. Todd Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. I just be honest with me. What did it feel like, man, to be on that plane and finally start the season? It's going to be different. You guys hadn't traveled for a while. Going to get fans back in the stands. You're not calling it off of a monitor. I mean, I felt a tinge of jealousy yet happiness. And I was outside because I was smoking ribs. So I had to be outside. But yes, I knew I had to go outside. I saw the plane fly over my house and I grab Ann. I'm like, look, there goes Todd. And she's like, oh, they're traveling again. So we were happy for you. But I sent you the video. I sent you the video.
Pretty fired up, man. That's what you sign up for. Just to be around the guys the last week, Gus, has been awesome. I mean,
right.
We did not have that opportunity a year ago. And to get on the plane with them, be in the hotel, go to shoot around today, it's funny. I put out a tweet earlier this morning. The last time we called a game on the road in person was in the Target Center on March 8th, 2020. How weird is that? It was almost surreal being in the building. Because obviously we flew to Sacramento the next day after we won that Sunday afternoon. We flew to Sacramento that night and never played another basketball game until the bubble. So
it was Tuesday. It had to be Tuesday, man. Because I was doing the Tulane game in the booth, baseball, and then
It was Wednesday night. We played on Sunday and had two full days off in Sacramento. Yeah, I'll never forget it as long as I live. But
yeah. Well, you know what?
We're ready to go, man. We're ready to go.
I am too.
Daniel Salison on the call, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip. And the only way you're going to be able to watch it is go to pelicans.com, 75-mile radius within the city. Again, that's NBA rules. That's not Pelican rules. And you will be able to watch it and listen to us. Our radio call will be underneath the video. So
awesome.
You're going to get the best of both worlds. Tonight.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it. And, of course, you could always hear all the games right here on ESPN 100.3 FM. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. And we'll see you Wednesday at the Smoothie King Center. How about that?
Yeah, baby. Thank you, Goosey.
Yep,
no more guarantees.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off on that because here's the thing. I already think that's an L Sunday. I mean, I'll see after the bye week. That's an L. Washington, how's Atlanta doing, by the way, this morning?
Not good. That's the only bright spot of the weekend so far. We got to watch the Dirty Birds gag it away. So they did.
They so gagged it away. Anyway, all right, bud. I appreciate it. I got to wrap up hour number one. That's where we are when you're happy that Atlanta. Oh, look, there's the highlights right now. It's the number one play, Todd. It's the top one play. It's the top play in the top 10 plays on SportsCenter. The go-ahead touchdown by the Redskins with 28 seconds left to beat your